Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, I'm sure that many people in our listening audience are very familiar with what has been taking place in the news recently about Planned Parenthood. And we just saw yesterday that the fifth undercover investigative reporting that was done, the fifth video was released yesterday with even more chilling and disturbing statements that were made by Planned Parenthood executives. I mean, it's just absolutely unconscionable that the United States Senate recently decided not to move forward with defunding of Planned Parenthood. I mean, what more does it take? And we know that the children have been being slaughtered in Planned Parenthood. We've known this for, obviously, since 1973, 55 million babies have been put to death, many of them through the practices of Planned Parenthood. And yet the seeing what is taking place and seeing the cavalier, callous attitude and the way that the people are conducting this horrific business behind the scenes has really just caused even more people to be disgusted by what's taking place and to call for the defunding of Planned Parenthood. We're paying for this. Can you believe that? It's one thing that people are going out and doing this. We should certainly expose and oppose that practice. But we've been forced as taxpayers here in this country to pay for this to take place. It's just absolutely unconscionable. And I pray that God delivers us from this scourge and that these videos would be used as in a powerful way to bring that about. Here's another statement, though, that was made by the New York Times. Believe me, no friend of pro-life causes. And this article is no friend even of a pro-life cause either. But it raises another issue associated with this same subject. The title of it, this came out on July 27th, and it says, the title of it says this, fetal tissue from abortions for research is traded in a gray zone. And the article goes on to say this, videos released by an anti-abortion group during the last 2 weeks have drawn attention to a little-known practice, the buying, selling, and research use of fetal tissue acquired from abortion clinics. The group behind the tape accuses Planned Parenthood of selling fetal tissue for profit, which is illegal and which Planned Parenthood denies doing. House Republicans plan to investigate. This may be just one more battle in the nation's long war over abortion, but the dispute has raised questions about the buyers and who the buyers and sellers are, what fetal tissue is used for, and what the law allows. Scientists for major universities and government labs have quietly been using fetal tissue for decades. They say it's an invaluable tool for certain types of research, including the study of eye disease, diabetes, and muscular dystrophy. Nevertheless, some agreed to talk about it only if their names and their university names were withheld because they had received threats of violence from abortion opponents. Yeah, right. Companies that obtain the tissue from clinics and sell it to laboratories exist in a gray zone legally. Federal law says they cannot profit from the tissue itself, but the law does not specify how much they can charge for processing and shipping. So there's this gray area that they're talking about in the law. And we wanted to, talk about this on the program today, how we should think through these issues, these bioethic issues. And I think that one of the best places that we can go and best person that we can talk to on that issue is Dr. Joe Francis. Dr. Francis is the chairperson of the Department of Biological and Physical Sciences at the Department of Mathematics. He's also a professor of biological science for the Masters College. The Masters College website, by the way, is www.masters.edu. That's www.masters.edu. Dr. Francis, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Thank you. It's great to be back with you.
Well, Dr. Francis, here we go. Another issue associated with abortions, but I wanted to get you on to talk about that, what's taking place with now fetal tissue and how Christians should think about this in a moral and ethical and biblical way. Your comments on this article, just in general?
Sure. Yes, it's, well, let me just say, it is disturbing. We have known about this for years, but it's always been hard to put a finger on it, track it down, figure out how much is going on with it, and it is very disturbing. Now, when I present this issue to the classroom, I often get a divided response, even from believers who might say, well, this tissue is being wasted anyway. Can't something good come from that? And then on the other side, there's often just, well, if it's connected with abortion, how can we? And that's an interesting argument, because someone might just rationalize that maybe we can use this if it's being thrown away. But here's the problem I see with this. Number one, the donor hasn't been asked to give tissue, and this is very, very premeditated. Mm. And when I present to the class that this is premeditated, that changes a lot of opinions. And for instance, in order to use any tissue from an unborn baby, a fetus in this case, in order to use any tissue that's live, you can't wait very long. After we die, our cells break down very quickly. The enzymes are released. Everything is basically a non-working, and the enzymes basically start destroying the tissue. And so you have to have a situation where you schedule an abortion. You have to have people there to procure the tissue. It has to go on ice. That tissue has to be revived and kept alive. And so this is not just a case where this is tissue that's being thrown away and we're going to do something good with it. This is premeditated. Mm-hmm. And as we've talked about, if these children are the result of conception, which is where we believe life begins, then what we have is a murdered child and his or her tissue being used without their consent in a premeditated fashion. And it's very disturbing. The other thing that I can say about this whole industry is there's a lot of greed here. There's a lot of, I think basically what we're seeing here is an industry based on convenience. Here's why. These, in many cases, they're looking for stem cells from this fetal tissue. And we can get stem cells from adult tissue. A couple years ago, two scientists won the Nobel Prize for their work on adult stem cells. And you say, why aren't they pursuing that? Well, it's more difficult. It's more difficult to get those cells, to get enough of them. And this tissue in the researchers' minds is available, and we should use it. And then what we're seeing is an incredible amount of money being passed along. Now, Planned Parenthood says they're only taking money for the processing. But these middlemen, as you read in the article, there are middlemen companies that are making what appears to be millions of dollars off this trade. Mm. So basically what I see is using this tissue for convenience, and people are making money off of it, and there are alternatives. And I hope that's what we can get out, the word out, especially during these election years, that this is unnecessary. This is unnecessary, first of all, killing of human beings, and using their tissue without their consent goes against everything we believe about human dignity.
Mm. In the article, it does mention the idea of adult stem cells. There's a line there that says stem cells derived from adult tissues may eventually replace fetal ones, researchers say, but the science is not there yet. It seems that they're kind of denying the progress that has been made with adult stem cell research, and it doesn't sound like they're in any great hurry there. Why should they be if they've got a steady stream of fetus or baby tissue that is being provided to them in this premeditated way that you're talking about from Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, you know, Francis Schaeffer used to say this is an abortion for convenience sake, and now we're seeing that played out in a whole industry for convenience sake, that this tissue's there and they can take it. It's interesting that one of the companies tried to rationalize their use of it, and they said, well, this is coming from harmful waste. This is coming from toxic waste. And that is a double play on some words there, because any human tissue in a hospital is considered toxic because it could have disease, could have viruses and things. And she basically said in that article, we're using this toxic waste and which would be thrown away and would have to, and we're doing something good with it. There's a whole, in Nazi Germany, there was a whole language developed to hide murder. There was the transportation company for the sick and the handicapped. And those things. And so here's what we see here. We see people saying, we're going to do something good with this toxic waste. And that is a cover-up of basically the killing of human beings. And yes, on the stem cell research, let me explain a little more why they believe this is so, it's more convenient. Stem cells in the human body are rare. In the adult human body, we only have a few stem cells in our bone marrow, let's say, to replace all our blood cells. And why is that? Well, stem cells are incredible. They're highly proliferative, meaning they divide very fast. So if we are in an accident and we lose some blood, those stem cells begin to divide rapidly and make new blood cells. So we don't need a lot of stem cells. So they're very, very hard to get. From an adult, you would need a lot of a tissue to find those stem cells. And so fetal tissue just makes it more convenient. They can get fetal livers. They're taking it from the liver, and they can get a lot of them in a short period of time from the abortion clinics or the abortion mills or however it's working. And it's for the sake of convenience. But what I want the public to know and the believers to know is that the people who won the Nobel Prize for their adult stem cell work, they were taking human cells out of the body and reverting them back to stem cells. Mm. So the public's not being told that these tissues and these stem cells can be taken from consenting donors, from adults. And again, this is a matter of convenience. The tissue is available, and it's very shameful, because I don't think we're being told the truth. That there are real alternatives here.
Mm. Yeah, this is ghoulish. You know, it's monstrous the way that it's taking place now. It reminds me of you alluded to it a little bit there within Germany, but in Joseph Mengele, the Jews would arrive for our listeners' sake. You know, the Jews would arrive to the concentration camp. And all this chaos took place. You saw these awful pictures of some that were ushered off to the gas chambers. You know, they would be in starvation and brutality and deprivation of all sorts of ways. But I don't know if people understood why or who was oftentimes making the decision about who went to the gas chamber and who didn't. A lot of times it was Joseph Mengele that was making, one of the doctors that was assigned specifically to Auschwitz. He was the one who was making the decision, and the decision was based upon what he was going to do medically to the ones that he wanted to be held back. The ones that were spared the gas chamber were then put through this ghoulish medical procedures, all to say, well, you know, some people then would say, well, there was some good that came out of what happened there in the Holocaust, because he was able to do these experiments on human beings, and we learned so much through all that. Really, can we justify that in our mind, that some good came out of it when it was done this way? And to me, it's very similar to what we see taking place at Planned Parenthood. Would you agree?
Yes. It's a utilitarian argument. And two things there. As believers, we can get caught up in the utilitarian argument. But again, number one, we need to these children, these unborn children, were never given the choice to donate their organs. We are given that choice as adults. That's an unethical procedure by our own secular standards, right there.
Isn't it interesting if I can interrupt?
As believers,
you.
We believe that life begins at conception. But as I want to reinforce that point, that's always been a biological concept. That's been a biological understanding. And so I want to go back over that as we complete our series, that biology still confirms today that the life of an individual begins at conception. And if that's true, we're in violation if we take any life. But let me bring up the third thing that you raised with that, is that there are bioethicists in this article saying this is a gray zone, almost like they're saying we don't know what to do. We have to understand there were geneticists and bioethicists during the Nazi era, and those were the people that were supposed to stop the horrors. Those were the people who were supposed to raise the questions, and the horrors took place anyway because they went along with the political thinking, and that trumped any ethical concern. And I think that's what we need to raise today, the issue today. Ronald Reagan wrote a book called Abortion and the Conscience of a Nation. I tell my students, even though in our book it says life begins at conception, we are the conscience of a nation. Though believers understand that conception is a sacred point in time, and society's rules has been based on the fact that that there is something called human dignity. And we need to stand up and say, let's review this and let's protect humanity at all its levels. Now, on the positive side, we don't need to despair completely about this. We need to be concerned and we need to call our congressmen. But on the other side, how do we act against it? Well, we need to continue to make abortion rare. In the last few months, it's been amazing. There have been reports in the New York Times and other papers that have shown that access to abortion is decreasing. That means this whole industry can fail. If we continue to work in crisis pregnancy centers and with young women and give them the gospel and alternatives and talk to them about having their children, we can stop this. And I believe I'm encouraged by the fact that abortion is becoming more rare. There are some battles in some states about access to abortion. If we can, we've been doing this for 20, 30 years. We've been slowly turning the tide. And so I want to say that there's a way to fight this in a biblical way, and that is to stand up, know your Bible, know that life begins at conception, and that is a biblical concept, and that there's something called human dignity, and that flows from Scripture. And then let's continue to make abortion rare and stop this industry. Stop it.
Well, I think that you're right there in this sense that that it's different from what took place in Nazi Germany, in the sense that the women are going in voluntarily and murdering their own children. And so we need a political solution that we shouldn't have to pay for that idea. But we need, ultimately, the hearts of these women need to be converted to see that they are destroying their own offspring. What a judgment upon people when they get to the point where they will even take the life of their own children voluntarily. I think that this is I was going to make a point before. Let me make it real quick. But the movement for people who were so pro-abortion or pro-choice, they used to say, my right, my body. And now here we see that the body of the person whose life is being taken has no right whatsoever. They don't have the opportunity, like you kept mentioning about, they never gave consent for this to be done with their body. So that whole idea of my right, my body doesn't seem to apply to the woman in the womb. It only seems to apply to the woman outside the womb. But I think that this is a Wilberforce moment with these videos that have come out, meaning that there was that point in time where Wilberforce was frustrated. He couldn't seem to get through to the people just about the horrors of slavery and what was taking place. So remember, he had put them on a ship, and they went down that channel or that canal, and he purposely had the ship go by one of the slave ships that was there in the harbor. And so the people, very fine, uppity, professing Christians and so forth, leaders in the society on the ship, they were taken by the stench and the filthy living conditions, the horrors of that slave ship. And when they saw that, that became, Wilberforce pointed there, that as being a milestone or a watershed event in the movement then changing to eliminate slavery. I think these videos, although people should have come to this conclusion already because of what was being done, but these videos are kind of that type of a Wilberforce moment where people are now seeing this for themselves and going, man, what have we become? What kind of people are we? This is just gross and unacceptable. Your thoughts?
Yes, we do respond better to the truth when we can see its reality of the horror. And I did something similar with my students. I was involved in the pro-life protest movement many, many years ago, 30, 40 years ago, and I turned away from it because I didn't want the women going into those clinics to see me as hateful. I wanted them to see the Lord. What I started doing, though, was taking entire classes of students to an abortion clinic, and we would be legally in the parking lot and just watch the women go in, often mothers with teenage daughters going into the clinic. And I remember, and that opened the eyes of my students, and we prayed. And I remember there was an MD, a pro-life MD. He gave up a year of his work. This was a clinic, by the way, in Ohio that was run by one of the founders of partial birth abortion, the discoverers of it. And that's part of where the tissue trade started, from that procedure.
Yeah.
And this pro-life doctor took a year off to stand in front of that clinic and pray. And we asked him about his experience. And he said, I didn't hold a sign. I didn't yell or shout. I just brought this to people's attention. But then he said, one day, a woman and her daughter, who was pregnant, walked to the door, and they turned around and they came back to him. They went in for a while, and then they turned around and went back to him and said, we're not going to go through this because we saw you praying. We saw you praying. And that opened that experience for my students opened their eyes that this is real. This is happening. People, young lives are being murdered, and then their body parts being sold at a high price. And yes, we need to get that truth out there, and we don't have to do it in a way. Sometimes we can do it overdo it, and people will just turn off. We need to do it in a way that they'll listen. And I think these videos are done in a way that is gaining attention. And I think we should have some hope in this election year coming up that we need to keep bringing up this point, that there are certain people running for office who are for human dignity, and those who align themselves with Planned Parenthood are not, therefore destroying lives. And our society right now is rallying against those groups that are actually killing people for causes around the world, even beheading them, and yet in their own country we're participating in such a thing. And so, yes, I think we need to make this a matter of public awareness in appropriate ways. But it's really kind of neat that we saw a change in persons' lives when we stood up for the truth and we prayed. And then this mother and daughter said, you know, we're not going to go through with this.
That's exactly what we want to see. We want to see those lives spared and those lives changed. And praise the Lord. We even have folks in our own church that are working there outside the abortion clinic. And I saw recently she posted a picture of her holding a baby, one that had been plucked as a brand from the fire, one that had been saved, you know, and from that awful practice there in the abortion clinic. Dr. Francis, thanks so much for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That was Dr. Joe Francis, again, with the Masters College. Go to their website and check it out. It's www.masters.edu.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.